When I was growing up in Idaho, I was on a farm, and there were two types of farms in the area I was growing up in Idaho. Either you were a green farm or you were a red farm. Now, the green had nothing to do with organic or anything like that. It was whether you used John Deere equipment, which was painted green, or International Harvester equipment, which was painted red. Our farm was a red farm. And that idea of owning and being loyal to a brand loyalty, was something very important, because I can't remember a farmer that owned both International Harvester and John Deere equipment. It was just unheard of. Either you were green or you were red. And that was it. And they worked very hard, the dealerships, to help you to stay loyal to the brand, to have brand loyalty. Because they wanted you to continue to use and to be serviced by them in the best way possible. That is the best and ideal way of brand loyalty. And we know that companies will often do almost anything to ensure that brand loyalty. Because when something goes wrong, they are very quick to go to their customers, we pray, and try to right the wrong. Sometimes they don't, and they're forced to do it. We think of, for instance, Volkswagen, right, where they were forced to recall all these cars, but trying to help their customers remain brand loyal, what did they do? They bought the cars back. They gave them a couple $1,000s and hoped that they would buy another car, remaining loyal to the brand. Sticking on cars, you know, I have a Honda Accord, and it had an airbag in it that would try to kill you if it exploded, right? And so Honda replaced that for free, hoping that I would overlook that to remind myself of all the wonderful years that I've been driving a Honda, and they've been very good to me. And of course, ultimately, you might think of brand loyalty as the Samsung 7, right? All right, and we laugh about that, but they have done all sorts of stuff to try to sit there and say, oh, that might not work well, but think of all the Samsung products that you've used that have worked really wonderfully well, right? My cell phone, my smartphone is a Samsung, and all my smartphones have been Samsung since I got rid of my BlackBerry many, many years ago, all right? Today, in our second reading, St. Paul is talking really to the community that St. Timothy is shepherding about brand loyalty. Because in that letter, he is exhorting them to remain faithful and to trust him in his proclamation of the gospel. Because there are other people that are contradicting St. Paul. So St. Paul is reminding them is to trust the word of God that they have received. Trust the word of God that they have received and have internalized and are living in their lives. Trust the word of God that has been preached to them, and resist turning away to these false teachings, to these cheapening of the teachings, to these lesser teachings that others are trying to slip into the community of faith. To have confidence in Paul, trusting in Paul, trusting in the gospel that he handed on, and trusting in who they know that gospel is, which is Jesus Christ. Because St. Paul is reminding them that they have received this gift of Jesus Christ in their lives, and to trust him that that is the truth of who Jesus is, and to trust themselves in knowing who Jesus is, and not fall away for those things that are lessening and cheapening that brand of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus comes into our lives and sees us as we are, and asks us and invites us and desires us to be with him always and everywhere. And that is the gospel today of Zacchaeus, right? Jesus sees Zacchaeus as he truly is, a child of God, a son worthy of dignity, worthy of mercy, worthy of compassion, worthy of forgiveness, and he offers it to Zacchaeus with those simple words, come down. Come down out of your sinfulness, that tree of sinfulness. Come down and be with me that I may enter into your house. Anybody recognize those words? I am not worthy that you should enter into under my roof. And Jesus says to Zacchaeus, let me enter into your house. I must be with you right now. And Zacchaeus comes down and stands there in front of Jesus. And he stands there a sinful man, be no doubt about that. Zacchaeus is a thief, a robber, a cheat. He has abused people. He has bullied people. He has stolen from people. He has done all those things in the name of a government to collect taxes because he is a very wealthy man. That's what they say. Tax collectors got wealthy by collecting more taxes than they had to pay and keeping the taxes for themselves. So when Zacchaeus says those words to Jesus, Jesus, I will give half of everything I have to the poor. Wonderful. But the next statement is amazing. And I will pay back four times to anyone I have, taken money from unjustly. Anyone I have extorted money from. And believe me, that anyone is everyone. He was fair to no one because that wasn't his job. He was a thief, a cheater, a bully, someone who extorted and robbed people of their monies. And so when he says that, not only is he saying, I will give all that I have, but he's saying, I will give everything I have, all of me, four times over. I am so understanding now of your mercy and love in my life that I know that with you anything is possible. And I will give everything in abundance that most people would sit there and say, how can he do that? And yet he will because of his great love for God. But make no doubt about it, even as he makes those statements, there are people going like, oh yeah, he's saying that because in the moment, but tomorrow he's going to be the same sinful jerk that we've known all our lives. And that is the hard work of conversion. That's the hard work of reconciliation. That's the hard work of forgiveness and healing within a community. Because yes, the people around there have not forgotten the abuses they have suffered under the hands of Zacchaeus as he has collected taxes, extorted taxes, robbed them of what they had. And yet Zacchaeus is willing to enter into that conversation of healing by understanding the great generosity that God has for him. And Jesus says to Zacchaeus, trust me, come down out of the tree. Trust me, let me stay in your house. Trust me, stay with me. Zacchaeus enters into that relationship of trust, that relationship of mercy, that relationship of love. And that is what we are invited to in the same way. Because not only does Jesus say to us, trust me, but he also says to us, I trust you. I hand myself over to you so that like Zacchaeus, like the disciples, like St. Paul, like St. Peter, we will be bearers of the good news. We won't simply say, I got Jesus, let me go hide in my room now. But we will say, I have Jesus, let me bring him to my friends, my families, my neighbors, all of those around me. Because I trust that the good news that Jesus has shared with me, the good news that lives within me, the good news that I become as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I am called to bring to others, even when I don't do it perfectly, even when I don't do it as well as I hope, even when I do it with complete failure. I do it again and again and again because Jesus has entrusted me with that and asked me to trust him that what I do will bear great fruit. Or as St. Paul so wonderfully says at the end of our second reading today, we do it simply for the glory of God. Simply for that. No other reason. If I do it for any other reason, I'm doing it for myself and not for God. And so with Zacchaeus today, we place our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. We place our trust that he has handed us the truth of hope, the truth of forgiveness, compassion, mercy, the truth of love. That in entrusting that to us, entrusting that message of good news to us, that we become bearers of the good news, carrying it forward, sharing it, blessing it, living it each and every day of our lives.